concept or some ideas from the Bible, Lord, I pray that you would allow this to be a time of encouragement, a time of maybe challenge, a time of learning for some, that we might be able to learn from your word as we look at the message, the lesson this morning. We love you, Father. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 14, and I start off a lot of my sermons with this disclaimer, but it's true nonetheless. You know, at Verity Baptist Church, we teach and we preach all sorts of different types of sermons, and this morning I want to not warn you, but kind of help you to understand that this is going to be a very practical sermon. And I'd like to remind some of you that in your bulletin, you do have, in the back of that course of the week, you have a place for sermon notes. And this might be a good sermon to take notes with or something for you to remember. And I want to be able to help you. I believe that church should encourage you and church should teach you the Bible. And sometimes in church, we ought to be rebuked a little bit. But also, you ought to be helped in your life. And I believe that today, we live in a society where a lot of parents aren't training their children the way they should. And we'll be talking about that here in a few weeks when we get into our functional family series. And schools aren't really training young people the way they should. And we get to the point as adults that a lot of times our lives get a little messed up and our lives get a little hectic. And it's because we've never really been taught in certain areas. This morning, I want to give you just a few thoughts in regards to your finances. I want to preach on the subject of finances this morning. And I know you're thinking, oh, here we go. We're at church and they're going to talk about finances. But honestly, if you listen to what I have to say, this has more to do with you than it has to do with us. And I'd like to just give you some financial advice from God. Once a year, I'd like to preach a sermon on financial advice or God's financial advice. Something along those lines to be able to help you financially. Because the number one thing you're probably struggling with is finances. Number one reason for divorce in America today is finances. Number one reason you are stressed out or you need to be on some sort of medication because you are anxious or you are upset or you are angry probably goes back to the subject of finances or really the lack thereof in our lives. And I'd like to just give you very quickly this morning three thoughts in regards to advice from God when it comes to your finances. You're there in Luke chapter 14. I want you to notice verse number 28. Well, actually, look at verse 25 just so you get the context, and then we're going to look at verse 28. But notice verse 25 says, "And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus, that's a pretty interesting statement that Jesus would make there, where he says you got to hate your family and hate your own life in order to be my disciple. But it's not that odd of a statement when you realize that most people put their family before God. So Jesus says, look, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you're going to have to put me first. Verse 27, he says, "For whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" So I want you to notice, he begins to give a little bit of a parable and a little bit of a story. The context is about being a disciple. The context is about being able to follow Jesus Christ. And the primary application is that of you got to count the cost if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But the story gives us a little insight into finances. Look at verse 28 again. Notice what he says. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." He said, look, if someone wants to build a sort of building project, they want to build a tower, he said, it would be wise to first sit down and figure out, do I have the money, do I have the resources to be able to finish it, lest happily, the word happily means by accident or by chance, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And Jesus is explaining to us here that in a project, you should count the cost and you should figure out, do I have the money sufficient to be able to do what I'd like to do? And like a project in life, you and I need to learn how to figure out how much money you have to do the things you would like to do. And point number one, for those of you that are taking notes this morning, financial advice from God is this: spend less than you make. Spend less than you make. Most people are in financial struggles and in financial bondage and in financial problems because they make a certain amount, but they spend more than what they make. Keep your finger there in Luke. We're going to be coming back to Luke a lot throughout the sermon. And go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're also going to be going to Proverbs a lot. So when we leave Proverbs, make sure you keep your finger in Proverbs, finger in Luke, or a bulletin, or a ribbon, or a bookmark, or something in those two books, because we're going to be going back and forth. But let me just show you just a couple of verses from Proverbs in regards to this. You need to learn to budget and keep track of your finances. And here's a phrase you ought to learn, you ought to write this down, you ought to make this a model of your life, and you ought to memorize it, and you ought to quote it to yourself, okay? You must learn to live below your means. You must learn to live below your means. Are you there in Proverbs 27? Proverbs chapter 27. Look at verse number 23. Proverbs 27, verse number 23. And I know that this is real practical sermon this morning, and we're talking about finances, but I want to try to help you a little bit. Proverbs 27, look at verse 23. The Bible says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks." Now, in the Bible days, the state of your flocks was like the way you measured wealth. I mean, this is like getting online and checking your financial statements, you know. And he says, "Be thou diligent." He said, "Be a hard worker." He said, "Don't be a slacker in the area of knowing the state of thy flocks. And look well to thy herds." And you know, in your life and in my life, we have to be very diligent to know the state of our flocks. We need to know. You got to understand this, you know. And you say, well, I'm not really into money. Praise the Lord for it. You ought not love money. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. And you say, well, I don't really care about money. But you know what? God has blessed you with resources. God has blessed you with an income. God has blessed you with things. And God expects you to be a good steward of that which He has given to you. And you ought to be diligent to know the state of your flocks. You say, why should I know it? Go to Proverbs 23. Let me show you something about money. Something you already know. But the Bible wrote it down for us thousands of years ago. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 5. You know this. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Proverbs 23 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not?" Now notice what the Bible says about money. It says, "For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Isn't that true? You ever had cash in your pocket, and a few days later, you know, you had $50 or $100, and a few days later in your wallet or ladies in your purse, and a few days later you're like, what happened to that money? Money has this ability to kind of just fly away. Money has this ability to just kind of disappear. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and it kind of just disappears. That's why you ought to be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Now here's what you need to understand, okay? 100% of us live on a percentage of our income. It doesn't matter how much you make. You live on a percentage of your income. And most of us live on 100% of our income. Here's what I mean by that. Whether you make $2,000 a month, $3,000 a month, $5,000 a month, or $10,000 a month, you live off a percentage of that amount. And here's the thing. If you make $2,000 a month and you spend $2,000 a month, you are living right at the limit. Do you understand that? You make $5,000 a month and you spend $5,000 every month. You are living right at the limit of your life. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? And that's what we call living paycheck to paycheck, right? You say, well, what's the problem with that? Here's the problem with that. Every once in a while, there'll be an emergency. A car will break down, a bill will come in you weren't expecting. Some of you, every December, there's an emergency that you never knew was going to happen. Christmas, you know. And all of a sudden, you got to go out and you got to spend all this money. And you haven't, and you say, well, I just can't get ahead in life. But here's what you got to understand. Especially, you know, you may be in that lower income bracket. And that's okay. That's where I'm at. No, nothing wrong with that. But you got to understand this, okay? Everybody has this idea. If I just made a little more, things would be okay. But you know what? People that make a lot of money, when they still spend all the money they make, they still feel the same financial stress that you do. Because the problem is not how much money you make. The problem is the discipline you have in being able to steward the money that God has given you. And you ought to learn to live below your means. You ought to learn to spend less than you make. Now, there's only two ways you can do that, okay? And I know this is really simple this morning, and I just want to give you some advice. Number one, you need to either increase your income. For some of you, you need to just get an income, okay? You need to just get a job, all right? And by the way, let me just say this. Every once in a while, when I bring up jobs, I just want to throw this out every chance that I get, okay? You young girls, especially, you teenage girls, or you girls that, you know, one day you're 10 years old and you already got your wedding planned out and everything. Let me give you some just pastoral advice. I'm a young dad, but I've got two little girls, and let me give you some fatherly advice. You don't have to listen to my advice. I'm just telling you the advice I would give to my daughters, okay? You have no business dating a guy that doesn't have a job. Okay, let me just say that. All right, if he doesn't have a job, you don't need to date him. You don't need to marry him. You don't. You say, well, I don't think. Look, when my daughters, you know, my daughters are young right now. I've got a 2-year-old and a 3-week-old. All right, but you know, 37 years from now, when they're ready to date, okay, and they bring that chump home, you know, the first question I'm going to ask is, where do you work? Okay, because you say, well, it doesn't really. Here's the thing: whether a guy gets up and works hard every day tells you a lot about the character. Whether a guy, you know, and he's been looking for a job. Look, if he's been looking for a job for 6 weeks, I can deal with that. He's been looking for a job for the last 2 years. He's not looking for a job, sweetheart. Okay, I'm just trying to give you some advice. Okay, so increase your income, or you can do the unimaginable and cut your spending. Learn to see, some of you just got to learn to spend less than what you make. And that may mean you take less trips to Starbucks. That may mean you have to downgrade and where you live, or downgrade the vehicle you drive, or maybe not buy clothes every week. But you've got to learn to get to the place where you spend less money than you make. Because here are people who are not financially stressed out, okay? When you make X amount of dollars, but you spend below that, you know what you call that? A margin or a buffer. And when an accident happens, or an emergency happens, or a birthday happens, or Christmas happens, all of a sudden, I'm not at the limit. Now, here's how most people live their lives. You make this much, and you spend this much. You know what you call this? Debt. And you're driving a vehicle that you really can't afford. And you're living in a house that you really shouldn't be living in. And you're wearing clothes that people that make the money you make really shouldn't be wearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to help you out. I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to give you some, you know, this was scheduled. This sermon is scheduled for this time of the year, every year. I'm just trying to help you that if God were in charge of your finances, He would advise you to sit down and count the cost and look at your budget and figure out, I make this much, I spend this much, and I need to spend less than I make, and you'll be happier in life. Your standard of living may go down, but your quality of life, I promise you, will go up if you spend less than you make. Now, here's the problem with that. Here's why people don't like to talk about that. Here's, you say, well, that's not the American dream, is to have a house and 2 cars and a dog and 2.5 kids and to live in a nice neighborhood and to be in debt, you know. Here's why we don't like it. You're there in Proverbs, right? Keep your place in Proverbs. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, towards the end of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me tell you why we're in debt. Let me tell you why we consistently spend more than we make. Hebrews 13, towards the end of the New Testament, you find Hebrews, if you find James, you went a little too far, just right before James, you got the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 5, okay? Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without, here's our key word, here's our problem, covetousness. We want what we don't have. The Bible says, and be content with such things as ye have. The word content means satisfied. The word content means happy. It comes from, for those of you who speak Spanish, it comes from the same root word that we get our Spanish word contento. It means happy. It means you're satisfied. It means you're okay with life. Look, there's nothing wrong with wanting or having nicer things or better things. But if you can't afford it and you don't have the money to, and it's going to put you in financial bondage to do so, hey, just be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, the idea is this. God is good enough for you. And if I'm content with God, then I'll be content wherever God has me living, whatever God has me driving, whatever God has me wearing, whatever God has me eating. Do you understand that? Go to 1 Timothy. You're there in Hebrews. Go back from the book of Hebrews. Go past Philemon, Titus, 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now notice, you got to understand this about life. For we brought nothing into this world. Do you understand that? You were born into this world and your birthday soon, right? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. See, often we live our lives as if the things we have we're going to take with us. Do you understand that it's all staying here? You can't take anything with you. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having, notice, food and raiment. I would challenge you that in the United States of America, there is probably nobody who is without food or raiment if they really wanted it. Raiment is clothing. And having food or raiment, let us be therewith content. Notice that God did not promise you a vehicle. Notice that God did not promise you a house. People say, well, I lost my house. Look, I'm sorry you lost your house. But the Bible says if you have food and if you have raiment, hey, be content. Be satisfied. Be happy. Realize that, hey, with food and raiment, I've got a lot more than a lot of people in this world do. And our problem is a problem of covetousness. So you say, well, if I sat down with God, my financial planner, the advice that God would give me would be, number one, spend and learn and discipline yourself to spend less than you make. We all live off a percentage. You may live off of 100% of what you make. Maybe you ought to learn to live off 90% of what you make, or 80% of what you make, or 70% of what you make. You got to either increase your income or decrease your expenses. Number two, okay, we're moving quickly. We got four pieces of advice I want to give you. Number one, spend less than you make. Okay, are you there? You're there in 1 Timothy? Go to Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and keep your place in Deuteronomy, okay? I know I told you, we're going to Deuteronomy, we're going to go back to Proverbs, we're going to go back to Luke, we're also going to go back to Deuteronomy, okay? So you got one finger in Luke, and another finger in Proverbs, put another finger in Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 12, okay? Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 12. We have been raised in a society where we are told that credit is good, debt is good, you need good credit, you gotta have good credit. And I'm all for having good credit, and I'm all for paying your bills on time. You gotta do that. It's Christian testimony. But let me tell you something about debt, okay? Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. The Bible says this, "The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in a season, and to bless all the work of thine hand." Now I want you to see this, okay? In Deuteronomy 28, God is explaining to us the blessings that He's going to pour out upon the children of Israel when they are walking in His footsteps and doing that which He has called them to do. He says, if you're living your life the way I want you to do, He says, I'm going to bless you. And here's how He says, I'm going to bless you. Notice the last part of verse 12. He says, "Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Do you see that? Okay, according to God, you are blessed if you're the guy that's helping people out, not the guy that's needing help. You understand that? He said to the nation of Israel, he said, I'm going to bless you and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to lend to you and then you're not going to borrow. And you know, we're talking about a nation, but we can bring that down to families and individuals. But you know, think about this. According to Deuteronomy 28:12, is America a blessed nation today? According to this, I mean, China's the blessed nation. You know, they're lending to us, right? The Bible teaches this concept that debt is not good. You're there in Deuteronomy 28, right? Go down to verse number 44. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 44. Deuteronomy 28, verse 44. In Deuteronomy 28, 12, we saw the blessing of God. What was the blessing of God? Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Look at verse 44. In verse 44, we've transitioned. Now he says, let me tell you what I'm going to do when I curse you. Let me tell you what I'm going to do when I'm mad at you. Let me tell you what I'm going to do when I'm gonna punish you. Deuteronomy 28, 44. He says, talking about the foreigner, shall lend to thee, this looks like more like America, and thou shalt not lend to him. He says, look, if you are cursed, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be the borrower, and you're not going to have any money to let anybody borrow. Now notice what he says. Look at the last part of verse 44. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. I don't know about you, but I don't really like that, you know, that description. I don't want to go around through life, you know, being the tail. You understand that? And what this is teaching us is this, that being in debt is not, when God looks at debt, He doesn't see it as a good thing. See, I have really good credit. Okay, all that means is you're really good at borrowing people's money and paying it back. But debt in and of itself is not necessarily a great thing. Now look, I'm not debt, you know, some people teach debt's a sin, you gotta not be in debt. I'm not telling you that at all. All I'm telling you is this, it's not the wisest way to live your life. Did you keep your finger on Proverbs? Remember I told you to go to keep your finger on Proverbs? Go back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. You say, why is debt a bad thing? Proverbs 22, look at verse 7. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Proverbs 22 and verse 7, the Bible says, the rich ruleth over the poor. And notice this phrase, the borrower is servant to the lender. See, when you are in debt, you are not free to do as you will. When you are in debt, you have a master, and it's, you know, Visa. And it's your mortgage. And it's that nice car you're driving. Because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. When you borrow money from someone, you become a servant to that individual. Now you go to work, not for your family, but for that debt that you owe. And you don't have the freedom to say, no, I'm not going to work on Saturdays, and I'm going to spend my Saturdays going out soul winning and knocking on doors and preaching the gospel. You can't. You don't have that freedom to be able to say, I'm going to go, like today, Brother Donnie Romero, you know, be praying for Brother Donnie Romero today. He's starting in Fort Worth, Texas, Steadfast Baptist Church, moved his family this week from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Fort Worth, Texas, and planted a church there for the glory of God, and he's going to see many people saved, I'm sure, and we're praying for him. But you know, some guys say, well, I'd love to do that, but I can't, because all the debt that I have. See, you become a servant to the person that you owe money to. Did you keep your finger in Luke? Go back to Luke. Look at Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse 13. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, Luke 16 and verse 13. He says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He says, no, you can't serve two masters. He said, you can't pledge allegiance to two different people. He said, you're either going to hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. Now notice, when you read that, you would think that the next statement that Jesus is going to say is this, you cannot serve God and the devil. Right? Isn't that what you think he would say? You cannot serve God and Satan. Or you cannot serve God and the world. Or you cannot serve God and yourself. And by the way, those are all true statements. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So what does that word mammon mean? It means material wealth or possessions. Here's what Jesus knew about you and knew about me. That if we were caught up in serving mammon, if we were caught up in serving wealth, if we were caught up in the next paycheck or the next investment or the next toy or the debt that I'm in with all these different things that I have that I don't really need. He says if we were caught up in serving those things, then we would not have the freedom or the liberty to be able to serve God as we should. So, debt is not a good thing. So if God was your financial advisor and God was sitting down in front of you and you were sitting there getting financial advice from God, the first thing He would say to you is you need to learn to spend less than you make. And the next thing He would say to you is learn to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Because you cannot serve God and mammon. And because the borrower is servant to the lender. Now how do you do this? How do you set up a budget and how do you get out of debt? In the past, I've preached sermons on this before where I've actually sat down and explained to people how to set up a budget and I've explained to you the process of getting out of debt. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm just tired. Okay, I'm not going to do that this morning. I've preached that before. Okay, let me give you a few things. You say, well, how do I do it? I don't know how to set up a budget. I don't know how to get out. How do I do it? Okay, let me give you a couple options. Here's what you can do. Number one, you can listen to one of my prior sermons where I have explained it. Okay, if you're interested, I'm going to help you out. Okay, if you go on our website, www.veritybaptist.com, and you hit the link that says preaching, you're going to find all the sermons that are on there from all the 4 years that we've been, since we started this church. Okay, let me give you some places to go. Okay, October 2nd, 2011, I preached a sermon entitled Getting Your Finances in Order. Okay? March 11, 2012, I preached a sermon entitled Money Management. August 5th, 2013, I preached a sermon entitled Biblical Financial Advice. You see how there's one sermon every year? Those of you thinking, Pastor's just preaching on money because I'm here and he wants my money. No, you just happen to come on the it was just your time. That's what God wanted you to hear, alright? But here's the thing, okay? You can go any of those sermons, listen to them, take notes. I go through and I explain how to set up a budget. I go through and I explain how to get out of debt. I'm not going to do that this morning. This isn't the type of sermon for that. Let me say this. Do some research. Look, You are smart people. You have iPhones and you know how to use Google and you know how to check your email and all sorts of things, okay? You send texts. Some of you are driving down the road, checking your email, sending a text message all at the same time, okay? You're smart people. So just do some research. Go on Google. Type in creating a budget or type in getting out of debt. Read an article. there's resources out there for you. All I'm saying is this: what you need to do if your marriage is struggling and it's because of finances, you need to figure out a budget and learn how to spend less than you make. If you're struggling because of debt, if you're struggling, you say, I think I gotta file bankruptcy. You need to just realize that there's something you need to do in your life and get the resources, get the information you need. You are smart, you can figure it out, but you gotta figure out a way to spend less than you make and to get out of debt. You can't serve God and you can't love your family and you can't do anything in life and you cannot enjoy life when you are financially struggling. So number one, we said, spend less than you make. Number two, we said, get out of debt. Number three, okay, here we go. All right, number three, financial advice from God. First thing he would say is spend less than you make. Second thing he'd say is get out of debt. Here's the third thing God would say, okay? He would say, pay your tithes to God. Now, all of you, roll your eyes. Okay, all right, here we go. All right, let me give you a disclaimer. Okay, go to Malachi chapter 3. Let's deal with it. Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Let me give you a disclaimer before we start, okay? Number one, if you're a first-time guest here, or this is your second, third time you've come to Berry Baptist Church, maybe you don't know this, but you can ask around, okay? Ask the people that have been here. We don't talk about money a lot at Berry Baptist Church, okay? Number one. And I know that for a fact, okay? You will hear me mention tithing on a Sunday morning, two, maybe three times a year. And you say, how do you know you do that? Because I purposely do that on purpose. I don't like to talk about money. We'll deal with money as it comes up through our Bible studies. If we're in Matthew and Jesus is talking about money, we'll talk about money. If we're in Isaiah and Isaiah is talking about money, we'll talk about money. But we don't talk a lot about money at Verity Baptist Church. And this is the honest truth, okay? We don't talk about money. And we'll be honest with you, we don't even really want and or need your money. The Bible talks about money. The Bible talks about this concept of tithing. The Bible talks about the concept of giving. And God has blessed us with a church for our size, very generous, very faithful with their tithes. And to be honest with you, there has never been a time where we were just under pressure. And here's the honest truth. I went to churches my whole life, and I've heard of it. People tell me about it. You go to the average church, and I mean, it's like, right before the offering, there's a mini sermon about the offering, right? And the pastor's getting up there and telling you, oh, we need your money and we need this. Look, at Berry Baptist Church, we take an offering. We thank you for giving. But we're not trying to pressure you into giving money. And I want to be very honest with you, okay? If you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, I'm uncomfortable with Pastor Jimenez talking about tithing. And here's the thing. We don't talk a lot about it, but we do talk about it because it's in the Bible. But if you're here and you're sitting here thinking, I don't like to hear about this, I don't want to hear about this, you have my permission to stop listening. Honestly, if you don't feel comfortable giving, we don't want your money. Okay? Nuts to you. No, I'm just kidding. But we don't need you. We believe that God will provide. Okay, that's the honest truth. All right? Are you there in Malachi chapter 3? Look at verse 8. Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Look at what the Bible says. Okay? Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? That's a question. Ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Okay? The tithe, the word tithe means 10%. Here's what God says. He says, God expects you to give him $1 back for every $10 he gives you. It's called the tithe. And by the way, for you tithers, let me just go ahead and help you out a little bit. We rob God in tithes and offerings, meaning he expects the tithe and the offering. Now the tithe, he tells you what the amount is, it's 10%. The offering, he says, well, you just give me as much as you love me. But he expects both, okay? God expects us to pay 10%, at least 10% of our income to him. In Matthew 23:23, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 23:23, Jesus actually said, he used this phrase. He said, for ye pay tithe, okay? Here's what you understand. A tithe is not something you give God, okay? An offering is something you give God out of the abundance of your heart because you love him. A tithe is you just paying your bill. You owe that to God. God has commanded for everyone to return the tithe. Did you keep your finger in Deuteronomy? Go back to Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 8. Okay? Deuteronomy. Now, keep your finger in Malachi. I didn't tell you that quick enough. We're going to come back to Malachi, but go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Okay? I'm talking to Christians. Talking to people that are saved. People that believe in God. Believe that the Bible is real. The Word of God is real. Okay? Here's the thing with the tithe. Okay? If you truly believe in God. If you truly believe that God is who He says He is. The Bible is the Word of God. Okay? Then you should also believe that God is able to take care of you financially. And here's what the Bible teaches. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. The Bible says, And thou say in thine heart, This is what most Americans, this is how, we may not say it, but here's how we live our lives. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now notice this. This is what the Bible says. For it is He, the Lord thy God, that giveth thee power to get wealth. If you have a nice house, if you drive a nice car, if you have a good job, if you are able to support yourself and support your family, you need to understand it's not because you're smart, it's not because you're strong, it's not because you were, you know, got that degree. It's because God gave you the power to get that wealth. See, people get this idea. They say, well, God expects me to give Him 10% of my money. No, you got to understand, 100% of it is God's. Amen. And He's allowing you to keep 90% of it. But He says, all I want in return is 10%. You say, well, why does God want 10% back? Because He wants to test you to see if you're honest. And He wants to test you to see if you're obedient. But it is, you got to understand, it is God that giveth thee power to get well. That's why I don't understand, you know, I got to skip church because I got to work. Look, it is God's the one that gave you the job. People say, well, I can't go to church because I got to spend time with my family. God gave you that family. You understand that? Anything you have, everything you have. The Bible says every good gift coming from above. Everything you have in life. If you woke up this morning, it says God allowed you to. And we live with this idea and this mentality that what I have, I got, and it's mine. No, it's God's. And God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you keep 90% and teach you some character and discipline to be able to live off of 90% of what you make, because I want you to spend less than you make. And He says, and here's all I want. I'm going to command you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to command you to give me $1 back for every $10 I give you. And then anything you want to give above that, it will just show how much you love me. Now here's what you can understand. Okay, go back to Malachi. Are you there? Did you keep your place in Malachi? Malachi chapter 3, and verse 9. If you believe in God, if you believe in the Word of God, then you ought to believe that God is able to care for you financially. Malachi chapter 3, now notice what the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And notice, I love this phrase. It's the only time that I know of in the Bible, and there may be other times that maybe I haven't thought about yet. But the only place I know of in the Bible where God says, He says, prove me now herewith. God says, I want you to test me. He said, I dare you. He said, I dare you to take me up on this. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now you understand this, okay? Where this isn't a Pentecostal, charismatic, name it and claim it, prosperity gospel, okay? I'm not saying you put in a dollar and God's going to give you a thousand. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is this. God says, if you prove me with your finances, see if I don't take care of you. And some of you, I would challenge you. You say you've never tithed before, you never thought you could. I would challenge you. Why don't you prove God at His Word and say, okay, God, I'm going to tithe to you and I'm going to see if you take care of me. And I've got a sneaky suspicion that some of you may lose weight, but you're not going to start. I got a sneaky suspicion that you're not going to end up being homeless. I got a sneaky suspicion that God is going to take care of you. Because He said, prove me here therewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. You say, well, I want God to bless me financially. Look, I'd rather give God 10% of what He gave me and get this. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm going to make sure the devil doesn't mess with you. I'm going to make sure he doesn't mess with your fruit. I'm going to make sure he doesn't mess with your children. He said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bless you. He said, why don't you prove me? God says, look, give me 10%. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Why would God... Here's what you understand. Did you keep your finger in Luke? Remember I told you we're going to be going back to Luke. Go back to Luke 16. We're almost done. All right? Luke chapter 16. I don't know why you laugh when I say that, but... Luke chapter 16, look at verse 10. Luke chapter 16. He that is faithful in that which is least, Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. See, here's how God sees things. He says, if I can't trust you with a little bit, why would I give you more? He said, if you're not faithful in that which is least, He said, why would I give you, he said, why am I going to give you more? Now notice, now you say, well, was that about money? Well, that principle applies in every area of life, but notice where God, where Jesus brings it down to, verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous, what? Mammon, right? We already saw that word, right? What does that word mean? It means material wealth. It means, but he says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? People come to me all the time. You know, I'm a pastor, and that's okay. I'm going to say this, and then you guys aren't going to stop coming to me, but that's okay, too. But, you know, people come to me all the time and say, Pastor, I have financials. I'm having financial struggles. And if they want advice, if they ask me for advice, the first question I ask is, are you tithing? And when everybody says, well, of course I'm not tithing. I'm struggling financially. And I think to myself, well, that's why you're struggling financially. Because if God can't trust you with a little bit, why would He give you more? If you're not faithful with the $2,000 a month income that He's given you, why would He give you a $4,000 a month income, or a $6,000 a month income, or a $10,000 a month income? Because you got to understand this. It's easier to tithe when all you make is $200 a week than if you made $200,000. You understand that? And you say, well, and here's the other thing. People say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Okay, here's the funny thing about the tithe. It's a percentage. So you only have to give a percentage of what you make. You give the same amount. You give the same amount. You say, well, I only made $10. Well, you give $1. The guy says, I made $10,000. Okay, but it's just a percentage of what you make. And the problem is, we need to just learn to live, number one, below our means. Number two, you can't tithe. I can't tithe. You understand? I got this car payment, and I got this boat payment, and I got this house payment, and I got these credit cards, and I got this, and I got that. That's why we said, first, learn to spend less than you make. Get out of debt. Pay God His tithe. Go back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Now we're going to go back right back to Luke, okay? So keep your finger in Luke, but go to Proverbs 13. Let me show you this, and then we're going to give you one more point. Proverbs 13, look at verse 7. Proverbs 13, verse 7. Proverbs 13, verse 7, the Bible says this, there is that maketh himself rich. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. You know the Bible teaches this concept, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And God says, the individual that's kind of greedy and says, I'm going to keep all my money, and I'm just going to get... The Bible says, that guy that's trying to make himself rich, he's going to end up with nothing. You say, well, I might end up with a lot of money. But, you know, with that kind of attitude, you're going to end up real lonely in life. But the Bible says, he that maketh himself poor, the guy says, I have all this money, but I'm going to just give it away. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to love people. I'm going to help people. I'm going to support ministries. I'm going to support missionaries. He that maketh himself poor, you have great riches. Because the Bible says, see, here's what you understand. You cannot outgive God. Okay, so if God was to give you financial advice, He would say, number one, spend less than you make. Number two, get out of debt. Number three, pay your tithes to God. Number four, here's the last statement, okay? Number four, go back to Luke 16. Luke 16, and look at verse number 13 again. We already saw it, but let's look at it again. Luke 16 and verse 13. I saved this one for number four because it goes perfect with the tithe thing. Okay, some of you heard me talking about the tithe, and you got all upset. I can't believe the pastor's talking about tithing. He just wants our money. Okay, we don't want your money. You don't have any money. Okay, Luke 16. Look at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, right? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here's point number four. Don't love money. Can you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6? I think I told you to keep your finger in 1 Timothy. I don't know if I did or not, so I apologize if I didn't. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy 6 and 9, the Bible says, but they that will be rich. The word will means they're willing to, it's their desire, it is their will for their life, it's their golden life. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. If you have a desire to make money, it's your golden life. I just want to get rich. I just want to be a millionaire. I just want to make more money. That's your desire in life. The Bible says you will fall into temptation and a snare. The word snare means a trap. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now notice, I want you to understand this. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Do you understand that? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there's our word coveted, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You covet after, you err from the faith. Here's what I've learned as a pastor over the last 4 years. You have people, when they are down and out, they are struggling, they have nothing, they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go, they find the church like this one, they fall in love with God, they fall in love with God's people, they start serving God, they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they're soul winning, they're reading their Bible every day, they're praying every day. Then one of the worst things that could happen to most Christians, honestly, and don't take this the wrong way, but when someone who hasn't had a job and has been faithful to church all of a sudden gets a job, I want you to know, as your pastor, I pray for you very, very hard. Because this is what usually happens with people. They get a job and then they forget about God. Does that Bible not say that? Look what it says. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You say, I got a taste of money, so I want a little more money. And then you forget about the God that gave you the money. The God that gave you the job. The God that gave you the blessing. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You have to be very careful. Don't let your job, look, you need a job, you need income, you need to make money. Don't let your job take you away from God. You're going to regret it. And here's what ends up happening. God doesn't like idolatry, and then God takes that thing that you put before Him. And you, we see it over and over again, and I don't ever say to people, I told you so, but I say it in my head. You know, they come back and they're like, she left me! Well, yeah, because when you got hooked up with her, all of a sudden we didn't see you again. They fired me! Yeah, because when you took that job, all of a sudden we didn't see you for the last 6 months. And God says, you know what? Here's what you got to understand about God, okay? God doesn't really care whether you have a job or not. Do you understand that? And God says, look, if you'll serve me with a job, I'll bless your job. But He said, if I can only get you to serve me single, I can only get you to serve me jobless, I can only get you to serve me while you're just under constant pressure, God says, well, that's no sweat off my back. I'll keep you under constant pressure if that's the only way I can get you to talk to me. You understand that? Yes. I'm just trying to help you financially. You want the best financial advice, keep God in His proper place in your life. Yes. You want to have the best marriage, have the best relationship, keep God first in your life. Don't love money. And here's what we're talking about. The pursuit of money, but also the care of money. We won't talk about it this morning, because we'll talk about it a little tonight. But the cares of this world, realize it is temporary. Okay, so they take your car. So what? Okay, so they take your house. Who cares? If you still have God, you still have the Word of God, if you're still saved, hey, just if you have food and raiment, let us be there with content. Amen. Don't love money. God will say to you, financial advice from God, spend less than you make, get out of debt, pay your tithes. Don't love money. Okay? You're there in Luke, right? Look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at Luke, we're going to look at Proverbs, and then we're done, okay? Luke, I know I said it like 3 or 4 times, but this one, I mean it this time. Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 34, and then we're going to look at Proverbs. Luke chapter 12, and verse 34. You know why when I said this morning, we're going to talk about finances, some of you got like, ah. You know why God gives us this test of the tithe? You know why God talks about money, why God does this? Here's why He does it, okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, where you put your money, God knows that. See, that is the ultimate test of where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 28. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. We're done right here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his riches... Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm not mad at you. You say, Pastor, are you mad? Pastor, are we struggling financially? Look, we are doing fine. We're doing great. God has blessed us. This is what a pastor told me a long time ago. They said, you deal with issues before they become an issue, and you won't have any issues. Okay? You say, Pastor, are you preaching this? Because we're struggling financially. Look, we are fine. God is blessing us. We are doing good. Praise the Lord for it. Thank you for those of you that are faithful with your tithes and offerings. We're doing good. You say, why are you preaching on this? Because every year we preach on the subject of finance. It's just in the calendar. It's what we do. Proverbs 11, 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Spend less than you make. Get out of debt. Hey, God. Look, I'd pay God before I paid, you know, smut. I'd pay God before I'd let them take that car away before I got delinquent with God. And don't love money. Remember the quote from the bulletin, it's okay to have wealth, but keep it in your hands, not in your heart. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church, Lord. I know that this morning's sermon is just real practical and maybe not something that someone would say, I wanted to come to church and hear something different. But Lord, from time to time, we need to just learn about money and be reminded about money. And Lord, I thank you for those that give financially to this ministry. And Father, I pray that you would bless them and bless their jobs and bless their incomes and bless their children and bless their lives, Lord. But Father, I pray that you would help. Maybe there's somebody there. I know that there's somebody here who feels a financial struggle, who feels a financial pressure. I may not know who they are, but I know that somebody here this week was worried about money, finances. Somebody this week might have fought with their spouse because of money. Somebody this week might have yelled at their children, not because their children did anything wrong, but they were just stressing out about money. And Lord, I pray that you would maybe allow someone here, just one person, to maybe make a choice. I don't know what that choice is. Maybe they're going to decide, you know what? I'm going to get myself on a budget. I'm going to get myself disciplined. I'm going to learn to spend less than I make. And I'm going to cut some things out that I just don't really need in my life. And I'm going to just allow myself that margin in life. Maybe somebody here needs to just decide, I need to read a book or read an article or just sit down and figure out how I'm going to get out of this debt because I don't want to serve God in mammon. Maybe somebody here, Lord, it's just needs to make that decision and say, you know what, I'm gonna give God his 10% and I'm gonna test him and see if he'll take care of me. Lord, I pray that everyone here would decide to put money in its proper place. There's nothing wrong with having money. But let us not love money. Let us not serve money. Let us love you and put you first in our lives. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.